stupid is the first word that comes to my mind to describe Gilbert Arenas' opinion on Rudy Gobert missing a playoff game for the birth of Gobert's first child. Podcast coming in today after Mother's Day in 2024. I hope you and your families and your people enjoy celebrating all the mothers out there in your lives. But also, mothers don't deserve to only be celebrated on one day, but to be celebrated every day of the year because they are that special. And this episode of the Jason Smith Podcast is dedicated to a team who on May 13th, 1976, won the ninth and final ABA championship, the New York Nets. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading this special episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. One thing I always strive to do is to be as positive as possible when I'm here on this show, especially at the beginning of a show. There's so much negative stuff out there when you see stuff on the Instagram or the Twitter or the Facebook or the socials, whatever they are, and you're like, man, there's negative here, there's negative there. Well, how about this podcast be a place of positivity? And then there's a thought and the opinion that Gilbert Arenas put into this world, out of his brand. And I'm like, oh, well, this show will be positive at one point, but it will not be at the top of the show because Gilbert Arenas made a very stupid statement about Rudy Gobert's decision to miss game two of the Timberwolves playoff series with the Nuggets because he wanted to be there for the birth of his first child. Gilbert Arenas, this is a direct quote from the show, and he even laughed when he put this out there into the universe on the Twitter. Quote, "It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back, we hope," end quote. Those aren't my words. I ain't that dumb. Those are his words. And you can go there on his Twitter page and look at the video. It is still up, at least at the time of this recording. It was still up because I wanted to go back to at least refresh my memory to see if he truly said the stupid statement that I thought he said. And he did do that. I'll read it again because some of y'all might be upset as I am as I'm speaking about this. And I'm going to give you a little life update, which is going to go to describe why I am so upset and annoyed with this stupid statement. Quote, "It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back, we hope," end quote. How dumb can you be? I mean, literally, how stupid can he be? Especially when he has kids, multiple. And I have heard Gilbert Arenas talk about his kids and talk about the kids that he coaches and the impact that he has on their lives and the things he does while coaching basketball. So I'm not talking about someone who doesn't have any kids that doesn't understand this monumental moment in someone's life. Gilbert Arenas has kids. And I normally don't say someone is stupid or dumb. I people have said, oh, he's trash and this. No, the statement is stupid. But the statement also goes to describe and discuss the type of thoughts he has, not just about this, but possibly about different things in life. If I'm a person, I am about to be a father. My wife and I celebrated her first Mother's Day yesterday ago, and she got showered with gifts throughout the week. And why? Because she's a mom, and moms deserve to be celebrated, like we said earlier. But my wife and I are about to have our first child in July. The due date, the original due date was July 20th. During an earlier ultrasound throughout her pregnancy, we found out, hey, he's measuring 2 weeks early, so there's a possibility of an earlier birth than expected. Great, cool. We were all on board with that and said, hey, due date's here, might come a couple weeks earlier. Then during our last appointment on Friday, our OB said, oh, wait, no, he might come a little bit sooner than that. So we're honestly right now actively preparing for a birth that is even earlier than 2 weeks prior to our original due date. And if somebody were to come to meet me right now and say, hey, man, you got this responsibility for work. Your son will be here at some point, but it might be while you have a work assignment. I cover sports, Ohio State at football and basketball, and then also here in Howard County where I live. So there's a lot of things going on where they're, hey, spur of the moment, you got to be there. Or you got a few days to prepare for this exact assignment, but there are things that happen and they are going to happen on that date. And if somebody said, Jay, you got this date, you have this moment to be here when this athlete signs to swim, literally. Was at a college signing recently where a kid signed to swim at Bethel University in Northern Indiana. And I realized, hey, this is not going to work out. Why? Because my son's going to be born on this day. And if they push back on that, I'm like, look, whoa. This ain't that. This is not going to be what you're trying to want it to make it out to be. No, I am going to be there with my wife for the birth of not only my first child, but every child that we have. Assuming we both want to have kids in the future. So yes, I want to be there not only for the first, but for the second. And if we have more than two, absolutely. And it's really baffling to me as someone that hasn't had a child yet, but definitely wants to be there for the birth of all of my kids, how someone that does have kids can sit here and say, quote, it's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back. We hope, end quote. That we hope part speaks so loud about even how dumb or maybe dumber this statement is. Think about how many people out there have had miscarriages, not even getting there to the labor room, have had miscarriages just in general throughout pregnancy. My mom has had four before I was here. And so the journey to even get my mom and my dad to get in that labor room to where I was born was a whole lot different than it was for some other people that haven't had any pregnancy issues at all. There's so many people out there that would love to have kids that can't have them at all. And fathers that want to have kids, but maybe they realize it's not in the cards for them. So they would be someone that would say, look, if I can be there for the birth of my first child, absolutely. And I don't care if you're 18, 19, 16, 80, 65, don't matter where you are. If you decide to leave an assignment, your occupation, wherever you are, your vacation, and the place where you've dreamed of going for the birth of your child, go ahead and do it. Why? It's that special. And don't let statements like this from someone who is on a major platform detour you from being there for the birth of your first child. Yeah, I'm a little annoyed by this. Yeah, it's really annoying. It's kind of telling about how the type of thoughts that someone has when this comes out. And there are people there. This is coming on Gilbert Arenas' show, Gil's Arena, and one of the podcasts that he hosts. And there's a panel of people. There are about, I believe, four people that were sitting around him. And one guy even tried to say, hey, what about the skin-to-skin contact? He said, oh, you can get that in a couple days. Bro, how can you be this foolish to make these statements? And I have heard Gilbert Arenas go out there and say, people take a clip from a show, 30 or 45 seconds, and not hear the entire context of it, and say, oh, this is out of context. I don't think you can actually go about this and try to use that same logic when Gilbert Arenas put that clip on top of a post talking about Rudy Gobert leave not being in game two. He quote tweeted it, put this clip up there, and laughed while on that post as well. So if he tries to use, hey, people use this out of context because they heard a short 30 to 45 second clip and didn't hear the entire conversation, I'll push back on that too. Gilbert Arenas, really good basketball player, has made some foolish decisions in his life. But this stupid statement, I wish I could get it out of my head. One thing I don't wish I could get out of my head is what Austin Rivers had to say about NFL players playing in the NBA and how many of them could do it. Because this thought is one that's very intriguing. So Austin Rivers is one of those guys that when I hear him on the radio or see his face on the TV, I am normally not inclined to watch him or listen to what he has to say and pay attention to it because, well, that's just not me. Austin Rivers does not pull me in that way. But then when I saw him go around on the Pat McAfee show, there's a clip floating around of something he said that was a little intriguing on the Pat McAfee show. I was more inclined to watch that clip to hear what he had to say. And Austin Rivers believes that there are 30 NBA players that could play in the NFL, but also believes there are not 30 NFL players that could play in the NBA. And I think there are players in both leagues that are NBA players that could play in the NFL, and there are NFL players that could play in the NBA. I'm not going to try to put a number on it, but I will say I think there are players in both leagues that can play in the other. But the one thought about this, my first thought was with NBA players, my knowledge of them and how a lot of the makeup is, Do you really think that NBA players want to go through the beating of playing in the NFL? I mean, that's my first thought. And I say beating, I talk about it all the time. There are a lot of car crashes in an NFL game, in a college football game, in an NFL, a high school football game. Not the same level of physicality, but there are a lot of car crashes. What do you mean? What do I mean when I say that? Car crashes, I mean, if you're an offensive lineman and you're a D-tackle, y'all are going at it every time. Why? Because that's the level of physicality that the game is calling for you. Now, if you go to the college level, it's more physical, it's more intense. If you go to the NFL level, it's a lot more physical, it's a lot more intense. And so these guys are being so physical that when I think about NBA players, even some of them are the most physical. Do I really think they want to go through and get that type of beating and get hit like that over and over and over and over and over and over again? Probably not. There are two names in my mind that are in the NBA that people say Draymond Green could play in the NFL and LeBron James could play defensive end in the NFL. So Draymond Green, defensive end, LeBron James, defensive end. Does anybody listening to this show right now truly think Draymond Green wants to withstand the beating, the physical beating that he's going to endure during an NFL game, a 17-game NFL regular season? Absolutely not. LeBron James, do you think that tight end or even defensive end is a proper position for LeBron James right now? Many of you would probably say no. A lot of it to me is the physicality of it. Do you think LeBron James could go to the NFL right now and block an outside linebacker? No. Do you think if he really put the time into it to train, he could learn how to block? I say learn, not do it successfully, consistently, but could learn how to block an outside linebacker? I do. I do think he could learn how to do it, but doing it? Y'all, that's a different animal. I do think LeBron James maybe would better be fit as a wide receiver, but also think about this. He's 6'8", 260. If he took that 6'8", 260 frame on the outside, what do you find? You can throw the ball up there and get him, but if they call a play for him to run over the middle, look, them safeties, them corners, them backers, they're going to go low. Now, they're trying to eliminate some of these low hits for obvious reasons, and so I wouldn't really know how low they could actually go, but I can see LeBron playing more receiver than tight end, but also that physicality is one of those things that I question with any NBA player. Do I think Russell Westbrook could go from playing NBA basketball to playing defensive back in the NFL? I do. I think he's one of those guys that could do it. Patrick Beverley recently talked about him and some things that he did that were, well, not that smart. Do I think Patrick Beverley could go to the NFL or could work to play corner and do it at a high level? Probably. But what do I learn about Patrick Beverley? He's probably going to get called for pass interference a lot. So he would have to literally change how he plays to a tad because the refs are right there in front of you and they're going to call that pass interference. They're going to call that defensive holding. Going to call it over and over and over. He has even said recently on his pod that he is a physical defender in the NBA. Great, that's cool. But sometimes that physicality in the NFL gets you called and gets a flag thrown your way. So I do think with this conversation, there are NBA players that could go to the NFL. There are NFL players that could go to the NBA. I think there are NFL and NBA players that could play in Major League Baseball trying to go to another major sport. I know a lot of quarterbacks out there that were actually drafted to the MLB. Literally were drafted but chose to play in the NFL over going to play baseball. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, just to name a few. Patrick Mahomes, I think, was another one that could have gone and played Major League Baseball, maybe at the AAA level first or the AA level first before working their way up to the Major League Baseball level. I'm cool with that. I perfectly understand it, and I don't think it's crazy. Now, the one sport out there that I don't think a lot of people out there could actually say, hey, could they do this? Could players from the NFL or NBA go and play another major sport? It's hockey. Have you tried to simply ice skate recently? I ain't even talking about the physicality of hockey or the calories that you burn and how much water you lose when you're playing the sport. Have you tried to ice skate? Just you as a regular old person. Tried to ice skate. Because there's a lot of you out there who play pickup basketball once, twice, maybe three times a week. A lot of you out there might be in church leagues or leagues at local rec center. A lot of you out there might be a little bit younger. You might play AAU basketball, or you might play travel baseball, or whatever it may be. You might be on a local travel youth football team. You're out there. I know it. A lot of you out there that do things recreationally as adults or do things as youngsters that are on a travel basis that are for the elite at that age group, a lot of y'all out there have not ice skated recently, and if you have, you may not have been that successful. And if you have been successful and have contemplated playing hockey, a lot of you have said, no, I don't want to do that. It's a little too difficult to ice skate and also try to keep control of the puck. But also, no, there's a defender coming at me trying to take my head off. But also, there's this board here, so I have to try to maneuver around that. But also, I can't stomp in hockey like I would while running or while playing other sports. And so you're trying to figure out all of these at one time. Hockey is one of those things. I even saw, I think it was PK Subban, was on the Pat McAfee show and said a lot of y'all couldn't play hockey. And hockey athletes can play other sports. And I don't know hockey well enough to know and to sit up here and say they can play other sports at a high level. But I do know hockey well enough to say this. A lot of these athletes couldn't play hockey. And I know your boy couldn't. I'm a person. I'm going to sit up here and tell you. I'm not going to try to ice skate. I've only done it a few times in my life. I think the first time was actually when I was in college down in Tampa, Florida. One of our college, a lot of us went out to go ice skating one day in the mall. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're in Tampa, Florida. I think we went to a mall in St. Pete. Maybe it was Clearwater. I don't know. I don't think we were in Tampa. Maybe we were. I don't know. It was Tampa, St. Pete, or Clearwater. They're all really close together. And then someone said, hey, how about we go ice skating? Cool. We all go ice skating. It was my first time going ice skating. When it comes to rollerblading, just regular skating, not on the ice, I'm decent. Not amazing, but I was decent. Y'all, the ice skating's different. It is so different. Now, if I were to go out and play pickup basketball, which I did when I was in college, or if I were to go out and play flag football, which I did when I was in college, didn't have the pads, not really mad about it, I could do that very, very well. Wouldn't be hard. Y'all, it was hard to ice skate. Now, I got around a little bit, got around that oval, had some fun, had some laughs. I fell a little bit as well. I had to brush the ice off my pants there because, well, it's just what I had to do, but I could do it. Y'all, look, if you try to combine the ice skating with the hockey and they said, hey, we got a pickup hockey game for anyone who wants to play to learn the sport, it's going to be a very, 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 very elementary level game. A lot of y'all would not go. Why? Because it ain't that easy. It's not. Now, if you say, hey, we're going to have flag football, some guys you went to high school with say, hey, we're going to have flag football, a lot of y'all will go out there. If somebody says, hey, we're going to have a softball game, slow pitch softball game, anybody can come out here, a lot of y'all would go. Flag football, same thing as adults. Man, look, a lot of y'all not going to go out there to play a pickup hockey game because it ain't that easy. At the professional level, it's even harder. So, yes, I do somewhat agree with Austin Rivers, but I wouldn't say I fully agree with Austin Rivers. I do think there are NBA players that could play in the NFL. I do think there are NFL players that could play in the NBA. I do think there are NBA and NFL players that could play Major League Baseball. I don't think anybody from those three sports could simply get up here and say, oh, I could pick up hockey, I could train for hockey, simply go out there and do it. I don't think so. I don't. What say you? Let me know. 5-star review and a rating on Spotify or Apple. And let me know if you think there are NBA players that can play in the NFL and there are NFL players that can play in the NBA. One thing we know about people that say stupid things, they might get suspended. That happened to a local sports writer in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll talk about Greg Doyle next. Stupid, silly, and suspension. Those three words could be used to describe the three portions of today's show. Gilbert Arenas says something stupid. Austin Rivers said something silly. And Greg Doyle said something that got him suspended. Greg Doyle is a columnist for the Indianapolis Star. Been in Indianapolis for quite a long time. Actually, we've had him here on this podcast back in 2020. And honestly, I enjoyed my time with Greg Doyle on this show. Was someone that we got to dive into his career as a sports writer, why he came to Indianapolis, a job that he turned down while he was in Indianapolis, a big-time job. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I like Greg Doyle. He thinks outside of the box. I like a lot of his writing. It made a lot of sense, and I really enjoyed him on the show. Since that time period, maybe I was a little blinded by it before, Greg Doyle has said a lot of things that were a little fuzzy, a little confusing. And one of them came out when he was at Caitlin Clark's initial press conference after she got drafted by the Indiana Fever. He was on in the press room. He had his time to ask a question, and he made the heart symbol, the same symbol that Caitlin Clark makes to her family after games. Well, Greg Doyle, he said, hey, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis star. He made that symbol. She said, you like that? He says, I like that you're here. She follows that up with saying, I make that symbol to my family after every game. And then he says, well, keep doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. And that part right there, in the moment, I understood what he was saying. Came across very creepy, very, very weird. And then Caitlin Clark, even in the moment, sat there and even looked at him with her eyes, looked like they were going to pop out of her head, like, did this man really just say this? And you know you say something a little bit weird, a little bit off, because after he said, well, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine, he quickly transitioned into the question that he wanted to ask. So it wasn't like he was just doing something and didn't think anything of it, didn't think it may have been a little off-putting. He literally did something that he knew was a little bit weird and then sat there and kept on going. Well, he got suspended for two weeks, and cannot cover any Indiana Fever game in person during Caitlin Clark's rookie year, a year that there's going to be a lot of national attention. I think 36 of the 40 Fever games will be on national television. Local channel 13 is going to broadcast a lot of the Fever games this year, so it's going to get a lot more local attention, a lot more national attention than the Fever are used to. And a guy who is the main sports writer for the Indianapolis Star cannot cover any games, home or away, in person, including the All-Star game for the Fever. Look, Greg Doyle, he did it to himself. We've all been there. We've all said some things that are a little stupid. We've all said some things that aren't wise. We have all done those things. So I'm not sitting here saying that I have never said anything crazy or wild or dumb or foolish. I'm not going to sit up here and say that. But you have to be smarter. You have to be wise, especially someone that's been in his shoes for as long as he has, that's been a sports writer for as long as he has, in major markets, in a smaller market, at the national level. You have to realize you can do certain things and you can't do certain things. You can say certain things in a press conference and you might want to wait to say certain things afterwards. And I'm not sitting up here and saying that this thing here to Caitlin Clark should have been said afterwards, not in a media room during a press conference. Don't say it at all. Don't do it. And if I were in that room, I've heard guys say, hey, you should have just stopped Greg Doyle and said, hey, don't do that. Don't say that. And someone should have spoke up to him. I have been in rooms, in press conferences, in different areas where things are said. And I sit there and pause and I'm like, did I literally just hear that? And it takes me a few seconds to realize what just happened. I was in the Big Ten Media Day room at Lucas Oil Stadium when Jim Harbaugh made a comment saying, we're going to do it or die trying. And he's talking about beating Ohio State. This is before the Wolverines beat the Buckeyes three straight times. I was my first Big Ten media days, and I remember him saying that. And in the moment, I remember tweeting it out. I didn't get it clipped. I didn't record it on my phone via video. But I remember him saying that, and I'm sitting here like, okay, cool. I'm taking my notes, putting it on Twitter. Great, cool. Trying to get down all the notes that I can. But it didn't even dawn on me how big that statement was until people started replying and quote tweeting the tweet that I put out there. Like, wait, did he really just say that? Did he really just do that? Are they really going to do it or die while trying to beat Ohio State? It didn't dawn on me. So I understand. I'm not going to call the person that actually made the statement because I understand where they came from. But in the moment, it didn't dawn on me at all, the magnitude of what Jim Harbaugh said. Now, however, in this moment, the first time I heard this statement, it wasn't one of the things that I didn't realize what he said or the magnitude of it. Well, my first thought would not have been to react and tell him to stop. You don't do that. This isn't just a sports thing for women. This is women in general. You just don't do that. You don't say those things. And so, Greg Doyle is one of those guys, been around for a long time. I personally don't think this suspension came only because of the statement. Think about this. Caitlin Clark, a rookie in the WNBA, hasn't played a WNBA game, and national networks are already saying we're going to broadcast Fever games nationally. A Fever team that was really, really bad a year ago. Caitlin Clark's bringing a lot of buzz. She's going to do a lot of good things in the city and for the Fever. I do believe she'll be good for the WNBA and be good in her rookie season. Also, think about this. So she's a newcomer. She's a star for the team already. Think about this, though. Greg Doyle has also said some things previously that didn't sit well with other people. So similar to some of the Draymond Green things, the suspensions and other things that have happened in major sports where guys get suspended, maybe not for the one thing they did, but for a magnitude or multitude of things. That's the right word. Multitude of things they've done that are wrapped into, oh, you've done all these things, haven't been in trouble for them in this big way yet. Oh, here you go. Here's your suspension. I think Greg Doyle's statement here was wrong and he should have gotten in trouble for it. But also, it's Caitlin Clark. She's a rookie. I think the city and the Fever and the organization want to protect her. But also, Doyle's done some things, he said some things previously that haven't been the wisest things to say. Or even some editors have allowed him to put some things in print that people all over, doesn't matter your stance, have said, how do y'all let that get past the editor? How does the copy editor sit here? And I don't know the hierarchy and the chain of command, but I've heard, I think what Stephen A. Smith say, there's generally two people that look at something before it hits print. And if that's true for the star, and if there's two people that look at something before it hits print, how does it get past two people? How does it possibly get past one person? I don't know. I mean, I know how, but still, it's kind of confusing that things do get passed in that way. But Greg Doyle got suspended. He did it to himself. And I really hope, I truly hope that Greg Doyle learns a lesson here. Now, honestly, not just Greg Doyle, but everybody. Think before you talk. And if you're thinking what you might say could get you in trouble, don't say it. If you question something that might come out of your mouth, you probably should not say it. I'll leave it at that. Don't want to belabor the point, but Greg Doyle got suspended for very weird, creepy thing he said to Caitlin Clark, but also I think it's a suspension that was wrapped up into numerous factors, which is why Greg Doyle and a suspension, 2-week suspension, but also I cannot cover Fever games in season during Caitlin Clark's rookie year. Episode 295, we're not far away from episode 300. Going to have some special things coming for that show and also some special things coming, not that show in the future, but during next week's show. How do you stay in tune? You know when the next pod comes out? Well, subscribe, follow Locked On Buckeyes on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you get your fine podcasts. You can follow me on X at jstevens07. Send any email to jstevenspod@gmail.com. Also, go to the YouTube, search the J Stevens Podcast YouTube page. I'm going to start putting some YouTube shorts out. Might put some shorter form videos out throughout the week that might be topics that don't hit the show. Hey, you never know what's going to happen. Go to the YouTube exclusive. Go to the podcast audio form here, and let's make this bad boy grow. This has been episode 295 of the J Stevens Podcast. We'll see you next time.